Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
Marriage success coach, I get very sad and more than a bit disheartened when I hear people throw around the D word, divorce. They often make it sound like it's no big deal and that it will forever end any problems with their soon-to-be ex. And while I am really glad that those people whose marriages do need to end can get out with greater ease than they could 50 years ago, even for them, the problems with their ex persist if they have children. And I have had several children who had to divorce due to what I call the hard reasons, abuse and addiction. But their lives and their lives of their children changed drastically. One of my clients, who I've been seeing for years, is still struggling to find a job that enables her to afford a house in the town her children have grown up in without the alimony that is going to end at the end of the year. She's also dealing with an ex who is threatening not to pay college tuition for one of the children unless she gives up custody of the other two. Divorce has kept her from being hit and from being living in that 24/7 tension, but it hasn't freed her from his abuse. Now, luckily, most people aren't in marriages like hers, but they shouldn't be so certain that ending their marriages won't create the same kind of challenges. And this is because most divorces are desired by only one of the people in them. When you decide to split apart your marriage and your family, you may be surprised by how hard your partner decides to fight. You may believe that ending your marriage will free you from your partner, but like my client, if you have children, you will still have to deal with their quirks and annoyances pretty much for as long as your children are on the planet. In addition, you will lose any say over what happens to your children in their home, your ex's home, not to mention the possibility of their remarrying with all the challenges that come along with that. So joining me today to talk about what you need to consider before ending your marriage is Lisa Angel. She's a divorce attorney with the Rosen Law Firm in Raleigh and Charlotte, North Carolina. And Lisa, thanks so much for joining the program.
Thanks for having me, Leslie.
So I have to be upfront. I've known you for years.
Yes.
And your divorce firm is one that I actually recommend to my clients, so I have to be upfront about that. But one of the things that you guys do some things a little bit differently than what most people would consider when they're getting divorced. So can you tell can you talk a little bit about what other things you offer other than just straight, okay, here's what happens when you get divorced?
Yes. So, you know, part of our philosophy about divorce is that people, especially when they have children, are going to remain in a long-term relationship. And how they divorce, the process that they go through is going to impact that, and it's going to impact their ability to get along as co-parents, going to affect their children. And so we work really hard to encourage people and to try to, you know, keep that relationship from being harmed or worsened in any way through the divorce process. We also actually completely, you know, separately from our divorce website, we have a website called Stay Happily Married.
Right.
And we actually have a lot of resources on there about how people can reconcile and stay married. What we found was that when we started looking at this, there weren't as many resources for people on the web that we, you know, that we thought should be out there. And so we partnered with a lot of marriage counselors in our community, and we have a website that tries to bring together tons of resources for people so that at the same time they may be thinking divorce, they can also be diverted into this resource as well.
What do you guys look for in the couples? Because I said something about my client, a couple of my clients, and in our field we talk about hard reasons for divorce, the abuse, addiction. Some people actually throw in adultery, although I know even though adultery is really awful, people can recover from it. Marriages can survive.
Absolutely. Yes,
but,
absolutely.
Most people are getting divorced for what we in the business call soft reasons. They've grown apart, they fight, which is not fun, but that's, you know, but there's skill things that they can learn that if they learned them, they could actually stay married. And so what are some of the things that you see when people come into your office?
So I completely agree with you, Leslie. There are certainly couples who come and we realize that there's abuse. Maybe there's physical or there's alcohol or drug abuse. And those are certainly reasons to terminate the relationship or to, you know, seek some intervention. But there are a lot of people that come in who, yes, exactly what you're describing. They've grown apart. They are struggling with the stresses of young children and two incomes and two jobs and two careers. And so there's a lot of stress on the relationship itself. And sometimes people come in and they just really feel like it's not going to get any better, that there's mm-hmm. just not a way to improve it. And so they view this as the only option.
Right. It's not that they want to get divorced. They just don't understand how to get out of where they are.
Yes, because they see the pattern developing that they can't seem to undo or to change, and it starts to wear on them, and they look at it and think, well, if I wouldn't have these same problems were I to divorce.
Yeah, no, they just have a whole nother set. But that's
well, that's the issue. I mean, if you have children, I tell people the separation is going to, the negotiations are going to be very similar to the way they are in your marriage. And so, you know, the way people behave in their separation, the way they resolve conflict tends to be the way they did in their marriage. And so you're going to continue to have some issues that need to be resolved. And, you know, you still have to figure out a way to resolve those conflicts.
Right. And it's really funny that you say that because I was on an airplane the other day and I was talking to my seatmate, and when she found out what I did, she was telling me about a friend of hers who was going through a bad divorce and that they were fighting over money. And I didn't say this to her, but in my head I'm going, they're not fighting over money. The money just happens
right.
to be what the topic happens, but they're fighting over something completely different. But it shows up
yes.
as, you know, the people who fight over the Tupperware. I mean, I know you guys have seen that.
yes, definitely, definitely. The thing is usually not the thing.
Right.
What we say in our office. And actually in our office, we talk a lot about money fights in the terms of, you know, we really believe actually people should in their marriages share the money, in part because it helps people to have those conflicts, because the conflicts are really about how are you going to live your life, what's important, what's the priority, whose priority should you be spending money on right now versus the other. And so those are things that in some ways we believe as divorce attorneys, kind of watching people go through this all the time, that marriages are healthier if you're having those conflicts and then resolving them. And
right.
sometimes people want to just split the money because they think that's the way to avoid the conflict, but the reality is you never really avoid the conflict. Just
right.
I
tell people you don't avoid conflict, you merely postpone it, and the longer you postpone it, the more difficult it's going to be to resolve.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, yes. From our perspective, I agree with you 100%.
Well, and it's funny that you bring up the money because a lot of my clients, they keep their money separate. And I tell them, the state of North Carolina, if you're married, does not keep your money separate. As far as they're concerned,
that's right.
All your money is your
yeah.
money. And people look at me like I'm crazy. I said, well, you're married. It's all together. And to be able to know what's happening.
That's right.
I'm with you.
So what happens for people when they keep their money separate, and we see this quite a bit, where maybe even one person controls the money and the other person is running up a credit card debt or has less money and the other person's running up a savings balance. One spouse is running a savings balance, one's running a deficit, and they're kind of assuming that they're protected from the other one or that they're not going to share in the other. And that's just not the case. And, you know, unless there's a prenuptial of some sort in place, under North Carolina law, the debts and the assets are going to get divided. And so if you're thinking about these things as a way to resolve the conflict, as you say, you're really kind of just putting it off until we get to the point and we get all the documents and say, nope, you're dividing all that.
Right. I had somebody who was shocked when her husband were splitting. They were my clients, and neither one of them really committed to doing the work. And she was talking about, well, he's not going to get any of my 401k. And I'm like, you might want to talk to your attorney about that because that's not – you're living in the delusion. Yeah.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And so and that's why we tell people to consider really sharing the money during the process. And I'll say one of the other things that as divorce attorneys we – often wish people had done is see a marriage counselor earlier in the process. We see a lot where people wait until they're so frustrated and they're so upset and they're so distressed that it's really challenging for any marriage to kind of survive that level of tension and hostility. But if they've gotten kind of the help earlier on, it might have been different.
Well, and that's one of my frustrations, and it's part of the reason why I'm doing this podcast is because, you know, I keep telling people it's easier to stay out of trouble than fix it, but most people don't even know what they don't know about marriage, and they don't know, oh, we're actually heading down this pathway, that if we keep heading down this pathway, we're going to end up into trouble. Where can we make a turn?
Right, right. That's part of why we try to get some of those resources out onto the web through our stayhappilymarried.com website so that people could, you know, see that there are lots of communication techniques, lots of research that's been done on marriage and what works best in a marriage and what are some of the signs that, hey, this is going to eventually lead to the I feel apart from my spouse and I feel like we've grown apart. I mean, those things, they just don't happen overnight, and so the earlier the better.
Go ahead.
Well, I tell people sometimes, you know, think about it as like an annual checkup so that you don't feel like you have to wait until there's this crisis, but instead you're going and you're seeking kind of this help through a counselor or church or wherever that resource might be, but you're doing it proactively rather than reactively.
Right, and that's really what I'm trying to get across to people, but everybody thinks that relationships are natural. We fall in love, and everything's, you know, love conquers all. All we need is love. We have all these wonderful things out there, and if we're neglecting it, if we're not paying attention to the relationship, things will happen. Plus, there's just some natural changes that happen in a marriage, not all marriages, but if you have children, that's a big change for your relationship. Because as I said, the children come in extraordinarily needy, but they don't add any more hours to the day. You still only get 24 hours.
Right.
But now we have to
split
it.
Right.
You know? And it's like you said, there's a lot of tension and stress these days over just trying to live. And people go, oh, yeah, I'll think about that later.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And later is going to creep up on you.
That's right. And from my perspective, I mean, a divorce is an enormous amount of strain and stress on your life. This is something you want to proactively try to avoid at all costs.
A
strain.
I love hearing that from somebody who's a divorce attorney. It's like,
right.
Because I jokingly tell people, and you know how fond I am of you and your law firm, and I said, yeah, my personal goal is to put divorce attorneys out of business. But
Exactly. Yes. This should be not a profession that continues. I agree with you at all.
Yeah.
because I think that anybody who's been doing this as a profession for a while understands the enormous amount of change and stress and actual damage often that is done that can't be undone, whether it's to children and their needs are interrupted and their care sometimes is interrupted, or just financially. The reality is that people often do better financially together as opposed to separately. And
right.
The bulk of what I do is to help people kind of minimize that financial damage, but it's still there and it's still a reality.
So you're listening to Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with divorce attorney Lisa Angel about what getting a divorce is really like. And Lisa, you brought up the reason why I do what I do, and it's for the kids. And I know that you guys see this, and I know you talk to the couples and the parents about the impact on the kids, but can you just share a little bit about what you've seen and what you trust to your clients?
Well, I think one of the key considerations is to remember that no matter what, no matter how badly your spouse has affected you, or no matter really how poor you think they are as a parent, they still are that child's parent. And it affects, I will tell clients that this is a child who has grown up hearing, hey, you have your mom's hair color, you have your dad's eyes, you have this about your dad, this about your mom. And then to hear that that parent is not a good person is,
right.
severely impacting that child.
Well, the kids, you're right. It's like, well, or Cousin Susie has said, oh, you're just like your mom, and you're listening to your dad talk about how awful your mother is or how much your dad can't stand your mom, and you're kind of going, well, wait, I'm just like mom, so does that mean you don't like me? And the whole thing is kids internalize this. They don't actually
exactly.
go up to dad and going and say, yo, dad, Cousin Susie told me I was just like mom, so does that mean you don't like me too? Kids won't do that.
No, exactly. And so what we have to remember as the adults is if you wouldn't say that about your child, don't say it about the other parent in front of your child. If you wouldn't describe them that way, then don't describe the other parent that way. And they're picking up on subtle things, too, not just the obvious, I don't like your mother or your mother is, a bad person, but the subtle, things as well. And so it's very important. Children internalize, they figure out very quickly how to behave, how to avoid the conflict, how to, they are listening very carefully to everything that you're doing and saying about the other parent. And things that you may have done in an intact family, you really need to consider not doing anymore when you're separated and divorced.
Well, and that's one of the things also is that I talk to people about, are you truly ready to get divorced? Because unless you can have calm, rational conversations with your soon-to-be ex about the kids or whatever, and you can really wish that person well, you're not ready to get divorced because you're not really getting rid of them. And when all you have to fight about is the kids, that's what gets caught in the middle. And the kids end up being the rope in your tug of war.
Right, exactly. And so what you've done at that point is really interfere with their development because then they're focused on their parents and their parents' needs as opposed to their own. And it's not what I believe most parents don't intentionally do that. Most parents want the best for their children. They want to see their children thrive. But it's the unintentional, and that's when it's important to be listening to the people around you who are objective, who are outside of it, and trust what they're saying. If they're saying, don't do this, then don't do it, because it's a really hard thing to do, but it's so important for your children.
So how do you guys you Rosa Law Firm specifically, but divorce attorneys generally, help people through this, because most of the divorces, it's over, it may be as high as 80% of the divorces are instigated by only one of the parties. The other person doesn't want to get divorced. And so what do you share with your clients? How do you help them through this other than sending them to people like me?
Right. Well, it is, I believe, very critical for anyone going through the divorce process to be seeing a counselor separately through the process. We see, to us, it's a night and day difference between a client who is seeing a counselor and one who isn't, because it is an emotional process and it's an extremely stressful one. And giving yourself that space and that time to fully process it is very important, and you will make much better decisions. I mean, no question about it. People who are seeing counselors during the process make much better, clearer, more level-headed decisions through the process. But in terms of, like, what we do, I will say that to help, you know, we know that trying to resolve custody disputes outside of court without using the litigation process is key. I mean, it's very rare, in my opinion, for a custody dispute to really rise to the level where it needs to be litigated, because the stress that it causes on the family and on children is something that's really hard to overcome.
Right. And there was something else that I wanted to ask you, because I really wanted to make sure that this got into the conversation. There are so many people who throw around divorce like, oh, it's no big deal. We'll just continue on with our lives. I don't know if you're familiar with Kate Winslet. Somebody just talked to her about it, and her flip remark kind of was, oh, the kids will be fine. It's just a growth opportunity. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, you have no idea.
Yeah.
How do you demystify the fact that this is a huge change, and here is the way it's going to impact you? Are you sure you want to do this?
Well, I think it is hard for people to see that. And all we can do is show them a little bit about exactly what the process is really like. And I agree with you, your point about that one person tends to initiate. And so the initiator often does have sometimes an unrealistic sense of how easy the process will be, because for whatever reason, they may have already emotionally moved forward and they are further along in the process, or have
Absolutely.
A different outlook than their spouse does. And it's pretty unusual for me to see people both be at the same kind of agreement level about whether or not the divorce should happen at all. And so that definitely produces a lot of conflict that sometimes the person who's initiating it doesn't fully comprehend. In terms of the impact on the children, I generally tell clients, unless the marriage itself is hurting your children in some way, whether they are seeing physical or verbal abuse between the two of you, maybe they're seeing alcohol or drug abuse of one of their parents,
right?
Really seriously consider whether or not you want to move forward on this, because if you're in a marriage where basically your children have no idea that the marriage isn't going well, you're going to have a major impact on their lives for something that could potentially be resolved. And, you know, will it take work? Will it be tough? Yes. But if the marriage itself is not hurting the children, I really would reconsider.
And you just touched on a question that I get all the time, and I'm so glad you brought it up, is, well, does that mean you're saying we should stay together just for the sake of the children? And I always answer that question with, it's an important reason for you to look into seeing if the issues can be resolved.
Because
I tell people, I'm pro-marriage, I'm not pro-miserable marriage, because actually, I've had couples where friends and actual clients whose parents did that. They stayed together until the last child went off to college, and then they blew apart the family. And the kids, of course, it wasn't an issue where there was any kind of abuse or alcoholism or anything that the kids could see. They thought everything was fine, and then suddenly their parents are going, no, we've been unhappy for 10 years. And then the kids feel like, oh, my God, what else in my life has been a lie?
Right, right, right. Yeah, and that's the issue. It's not that you are trying to just stay and be business partners only or roommates only, but that you're trying to actually maintain a marriage. And that children, they can see conflict. It's okay for them to see conflict and
right.
see conflict be resolved. But, you know, I have had plenty of cases where people come to me and say that their children are actually asking them to divorce. And to me, that seems like usually that's a sign that maybe something is going pretty wrong in the relationship if the children are constantly seeing that level of hostility.
Right, and that's usually what it is. It's usually I think the statistics show that children who's are being raised in high-conflict households do better after the divorce, but that children who are raised in low-level conflict, where basically their parents are getting along and are being good co-parents and providing them a nice, steady, stable life, they actually do worse. And unfortunately,
right,
there's more of the low-level than the abusive, addictive kind of households.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think it's very challenging to sort these types of things out, which is why I have a lot of people will come to me for a consult and they want to know what life is like if they divorce. And I think that's a reasonable thing to find out. What will it look like? What will it look like in terms of where will I live? Where will someone else live? But I think at that same time to also be talking to a therapist, a counselor, trying to reach out and figure out, well, are there other solutions? I think those should go hand in hand so that people can kind of sort through the issues and figure out, are there other options?
Well, and there's something else that is a real bugaboo for me, and it's just a personal thing, because a lot of the states, North Carolina has been lagging a little bit behind in this, but I think they're finally catching up, where the idea is 50-50 joint physical custody. And you've got these kids spending a couple of days at mom's house and a couple of days at dad's house, or maybe it's a week on, week off. And I tell people that arrangement is really for the parents because they don't really want to experience the full repercussions of the divorce. And I say to the parents, if you don't want to move every 2 or 3 days or every week, why do you think it's okay for your kids to do this?
Right. I do have a lot of parents come to me and say, well, I don't want that for my children. And I say, well, then you shouldn't divorce, because this is what's going to happen with your children if you divorce. Especially in, I would say, more of the urban areas of North Carolina, the judges more consistently are providing 50-50 physical custody. And every county is a little different. There's no
sure.
set rule about what it should be. And certainly judges are allowed to look at the whole circumstance and all that, but we see it a lot, and it's a consequence of divorce. That's what's going to happen for your children, and you may decide that consequence outweighs whatever is going on in the marriage right now, but you really need to make sure that that's the case before you think about separation, because your children are going to go back and forth. They are going to have two sets of things. They're going to have books that they forgot at the other house, and there's going to be a lot of interaction between you and your ex-spouse, most likely over a long time period.
Right. And so my viewpoint is it isn't stay in a bad relationship or get divorced. It's find a way to improve the relationship.
Absolutely. Right.
Because my children are now grown and out of the house. But I couldn't have imagined when they were little not being able to go in and kiss them goodnight every night. That, to me, would have killed
me.
But, you know, it's this idea that, oh, well, you know, and then the parents are fighting back and forth because they want their children as much as they can have them. And so my attitude is, okay, have them 100% of the time and fix this relationship.
Right, right. And I do meet with people sometimes, and their response when I say it, that no, you're not going to be seeing your child every night, their response is to stay married. So,
right.
You know, I think people do make that choice. And that's why I think it's a good idea, you know, when sometimes people will, in their minds, have ideas about what divorce will be like. And so sometimes I think it is a good idea to meet with a divorce attorney and get a realistic picture of what would life be like. And often that's enough for someone to say, no, I want to find a different way. I want to
right.
find a different way.
Which is great, and I know that's what you guys do. So can you tell the listeners where they can find the Stay Happily Married information?
Yes. So the website address is stayhappilymarried.com, and on that website you will find lots of podcasts, articles that marriage counselors throughout the country have posted and written. You also find, you can type in your local city and find resources for different marriage counselors in your area, including Leslie Doris. and so we're always adding to it. We have a link to it off of our divorce website, which is rosen.com. and or ncdivorce.com, but we have a link off of that, but also you can go to just type in stayhappilymarried.com, and all of that will pull up for you.
So, Lisa, thanks so much for being here, and I just want to stress again that, you know, in some cases, divorce may be the right answer. It may be the necessary answer, but in most cases, it doesn't resolve the problems you have with your spouse, and it often creates more of them. I can't speak this morning. And there are alternatives, stayhappilymarried.com, my website, afearlessmarriage.com. There's a bunch of information out there that should be tried before taking this life-changing event, because it's important to remember that the grass may not always be greener on the other side of the marriage fence.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. And that's part of why we put all of that information out there. And on our divorce website on rosen.com, we have every case, statute, you know, videos, all kind of resources for people to really know what the process is like, so
yeah.
that they can really think about, is this something I really want to do, or is there another alternative? And so certainly sometimes it is definitely the best alternative,
yeah.
Without question. If your safety is at risk, you always want to think about leaving the relationship in a safe way. But there are definitely other options, and I think it's great that you're doing these podcasts to help people know that it doesn't have to be like that.
Right. Well, so Lisa, great. Thanks so much. And listeners, until next week, stay loving.